Hey, podcast listener, this episode is actually an audio version of the YouTube series I'm doing on marketing your med spa or aesthetics practice in 2024. So there might be things in here that have a visual associated with them. I think you're going to get a lot from the podcast version of this, but if you feel like anything's missing or you want to reference the video for any sort of examples or screenshots that I'm sharing, please check out the episode on YouTube as well. Hey there, Ricky Shockley from MedSpa Magic Marketing, and today we're going to start our series where I'm giving away our top strategies for marketing your med spa or aesthetics practice in 2024. I'm going to show you the exact things that we're doing, the frameworks, the specific tips and implementation tactics that you can use and implement for your business to have a more effective use of your advertising and marketing spend this year. Now, why would I do that? The reality is we want to be a resource for this industry. We want to be the number one content provider. And to me, that means not holding back any of the advice and information that we can share that can benefit med spas and practices throughout the country. And we know that some of you that watch this video will end up working with us. That's the reality. That's how YouTube has worked for us to this point. So we're excited to make an impact. And if it's a good fit for you, of course, we'd be happy to work with you. And I've got information at the very end of the presentation, but this is not a sales pitch. I really am showing you behind the scenes look at all the things that we're going to be doing for our clients this year. All right, so what are you about to learn today? Let's go into the kind of overview as we start this series. So throughout this series, one of the first things we're going to cover in this video today is how med spa customers actually make purchase decisions. So I think I have a unique perspective on what people are weighing, what factors they're weighing, and how they're making buying decisions in this space. I sort of reject the idea of a unique value proposition. So I want to get to that. I think that'll be eye-opening. It'll give you some sort of a blueprint for how to structure your practice in a competitive landscape to make sure that you're consistently winning business. We're going to talk about what's required right now to attract clients at scale in a competitive market. Like I said, I'm going to go over the specific frameworks we use to maximize ad results on Facebook, Instagram, and Google Ads and to eliminate waste. That's really important because if you're maximizing the efficiency of your ad spend, just running ads on these platforms is not enough. If you're missing the details that can quadruple your result, you're by definition leaving money on the table by not paying attention to those things. So I'm going to show you what's working and what's working best for us in all these areas. We're going to talk about those frameworks and how we've been able to attract new patients to some of the practices we work with for as low as $40. Now, that's an extreme example, but I would say on average, we're getting a cost to acquire a customer of around $100. So for every $1,000 our clients are spending on the ads themselves, they're getting 10 new people in the door that they've never seen before. And we have some clients that are doing that for as low as $40 per client. So I'm going to show you again how we're accomplishing some of those stats. We're going to talk about how to solve the bad leads problem. If you've ever run ads on Facebook or Instagram, you've probably come away with this idea that, hey, the leads are bad, they're not serious. We're going to talk about what that means, how you can overcome that problem to maximize your conversion rate from leads to booked appointments. And I'm going to talk about the basic but often overlooked things that can improve your Google search rankings today, this week, to make an impact in terms of where you're showing up in the Google search results for the services that you provide. Why should you care about this? The med spa space is growing. The aesthetics business in general, the aesthetics industry in general is growing rapidly. You can see this growth from 2010 to 2025. That's continuing. Any projections you see from top industry providers like AmSpa, most of these people are projecting further growth in the next decade. And with that is coming increased competition. So it's a catch-22. We've got more customers, but we also have more competition. And that means we need to be cognizant of how we're positioning ourselves in a competitive market. So if you're like most practice owners, you've got multiple businesses just within a couple miles of your office that are offering similar services. How can you stand out to attract new clients consistently? So if you're a med spa owner or an aesthetics practice owner, dermatologist, plastic surgeon, and you're serious about getting better results in 2024, I honestly believe that this presentation and this series is going to have a dramatic impact on your business if you take action. So who am I and why should you listen to me? I've been helping med spas and medical practices in general for over a decade with digital marketing. We're rated a perfect 5 stars on Google. We have a proven track record of producing best in industry results. It's been really nice. We have a client that works with Allergan Marketing Support, and the Allergan Marketing Support rep has been on several calls with us where we're analyzing stats from our ad campaigns, and he's been so impressed that he referred us other clients. And that means a lot to us because that's our goal. We want to be the absolute best at what we do. So again, I'm going to show you, this is not a sales presentation. I'm showing you the frameworks and the strategies we're using to achieve those results. I've had my tips and insights featured in sites like CIO.com, Bank of America Small Business Forum, Search Engine Watch, and more. And I'm going to show you how I achieved some of those features and how you can use that same tool for your business to improve your search rankings and how you're showing up on Google. I'm also a consultant that's coached and helped other agencies since 2011 with digital marketing and advertising strategies and SEO strategies for their clients. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I'm the host of the MedSpa Success Strategies podcast. We've had a lot of great guests on that podcast, top industry consultants talking about hiring, retention, financials, growth, marketing, scaling for sale, a lot of different things. And we're hoping to do more of that this year. A quick disclaimer, this is a quote from advertising legend David Ogilvy, and the quote is, "Great marketing only makes a bad product fail faster," and I believe that that's completely true. If you have inherent problems with your business, the way you're running your financials, you're over-leveraged in debt, you're doing a bad job of retaining employees, your expenses are way more than your revenue, and therefore you don't have any money to spend on marketing, those are problems that this presentation is not going to fix. So this is for a healthy business that's looking to get to the next level. If you have those deeper problems, financial issues, retention problems, reputation and review issues, this is not going to do that much for you. So it will once you get those other things taken care of, but I want to make sure you have other resources to help you fix some of those issues in your business. On our website, MedSpaMagicMarketing.com, we've got a People We Trust page. These are people we've had on the podcast that can help with other things. I mean, they've got free resources available on hiring and retention, managing financials. I've got books that I recommend, MedSpa Confidential by Sarah Schickman and Dr. Carol Clinton. I've had both of them on the podcast. Top 10 Profit Killers for Med Spas by Kelly Smith. We had Terry Ross on the podcast. She's got a lot of free resources. So make sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to fix those inherent problems in your business before you waste a lot of energy on marketing. I find that a lot of people think that marketing is going to be the thing that solves their problems because they're just going to keep, you know, taking the bucket of water and pouring it over the edge of a sinking ship, but that's not going to fix your problems if you have actual issues in your business. So I just wanted to add that disclaimer. With that said, let's get to it. So how do med spa customers make decisions? The people that find you right now and decide to schedule an appointment for Botox or laser hair removal or a facial or Emmasculpt or CoolSculpt, and if there weren't a word of mouth referral, how are those people finding you? And it's my contention that people are making purchase decisions based on three factors. So those three factors are factors of know, like, and trust. You can put branding in there too. So things like what they're seeing on social media with your social media presence, the way that you're presenting yourself on your website, your online reviews, your Google reviews. If they've got a certain affinity for a practitioner based on what they're seeing online, videos and things that you've posted, the office look and feel, all of those things go into the know, like, and trust bucket. That's really, really important. The next thing they're weighing are factors related to price. And then the third thing is convenience. Are you close to their home or close to where they work on a convenient route? Is it easy to get in and out of your parking lot or your office location? And you'll notice I sort of reject the idea of a unique value proposition by framing it this way. So unique value proposition traditionally in marketing is the idea that you've got some specific thing that you do that helps you stand apart from the competition. And we're trying to lean into that. So I've heard people say, you know, finding your lane. Are you the cheapest person in town? Are you the luxury option? And I don't think that most med spas operate under this model where they've got a distinct value proposition. Most local service-based businesses don't. It's really trying to figure out how to optimize the three factors that are in this chart right here. So if you think of it this way, here's how I like to think of it. Your potential customers, unless they've got a word of mouth referral or a personal relationship, they're just researching, trying to figure out where they want to maybe go for Botox or laser hair removal or a facial or any of these other services. They're doing a sort of subconscious scoring calculation, 1 through 10 on these three factors. So let's just say, hypothetically, they're creating this mental subconscious scorecard that looks something like this. What we're trying to do is make sure we're positioning ourselves as optimally as possible with this scorecard. So let's say if I'm sitting here and I've got practice A and I look at their reviews and they're a 9 out of 10, they got great reviews, no reason for me to second guess their reputation, but their prices are middle of the road. So I'm kind of going, okay, they're just standard on price, nothing really attractive there, pretty average price. And then convenience, let's say they're a 7 out of 10, they're pretty close to where I live, maybe 4 or 5 miles down the road. So they've got a 21 out of 30 in this subconscious. And I don't think people are actually sitting down writing this. So that's why I keep saying subconscious. But this is what people, I think, are really doing in their minds. Let's say practice two, we've got similar reviews, great reviews on Google. We like what we see on social media. They're located right next door to practice A, but they've got a promotion for new patients to come in for their first visit of Botox at a discounted rate. Now, all of a sudden, they're a 24 out of 30 on that scorecard, and they've tipped the scales in their favor where they've made this decision pretty easy. If those other factors are the same and they're giving me a more competitive price point on my first visit, I know where I'm going if I've never been to a med spa before or if I'm new to town, right? So who would you choose if you were doing this? Practice A in this scenario, let's say the reputation's great again, the price is a 6 and the convenience is a 7, so they're a 22 out of 30. And then we've got practice B, where their reputation is, let's just say, I'll put this in stars, make it a little easier. Let's say practice A has a 4.9 star rating on Google, the 100 client reviews. Practice B has a 4.6 star rating with 100 reviews. So all other things equal, I'm choosing practice A, and the convenience, just for argument's sake here, we're going to put them in the same location, they're right next to each other again. But practice B has a really attractive price point on this new patient promo. Let's say I'm interested in laser hair removal, for example. Now I'm managing this trade-off of, hey, they're a little bit less reputable, but their price is actually really attractive. I might be able to tip the scales in my favor as practice B if I've got a more competitive price point to get people in the door for that first visit and win that subconscious scoring mechanism, that scoring calculation, even though my reputation maybe isn't as good as practice A. But I think this is a good thing to understand because so many of us, we say we want to win on reputation. We don't want to compete on price, but the data doesn't back that up. And when customers are researching your business, that's not what they're seeing. You can say all day and claim that you're the most reputable provider in town. Many of you watching this are, and that's great. So I'm going to show you some things in a second, but just be aware of that scoring mechanism there and how people are making purchase decisions so you can be cognizant of how you can tip the scales in your favor to win that business. Hey, practice owners, if you're looking for better, more efficient marketing initiatives for your practice, I offer free 1.5 hour strategy sessions where I will show you the exact frameworks and strategies we use to get low cost per lead numbers and maximize conversion rates from Facebook and Instagram ads. I don't hold anything back. I show you the exact framework that we use there. We'll go through your site's current search engine optimization standings, where you're showing up in the Google search results, and how you can optimize for performance, what you want to invest in, what you might want to not invest in that might be a waste of your advertising expenditure. And there's no obligation at all. I really enjoy doing those. So again, that's a free 1.5 hour strategy session. If you're interested in scheduling that with me so I can peel back the curtain on the strategies that are most effective in 2024, you can go to medspamagicmarketing.com to schedule that appointment. And every person's different. They might score those things differently based on priority. Okay, so again, looking at that, we're just trying to figure out a way that we can be generally marginally more attractive than the alternatives in the area. And really, this is for the first visit. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But when I'm talking about this buying decision, all I'm talking about is when somebody's coming in to see you for the first time and they've never been to a med spa before or they're new to town, where are they choosing to go? So understanding the context of how you fit in your local market is important. But when we look at those factors, we're not going to change our location. Like, you're not going to move offices to improve. You might, but realistically, you're not going to do that. And your reputation can take a little bit long to optimize. You want to start being better with the way that you're treating clients, your front office staff interacts with clients, and better about soliciting positive reviews. So that's a slower grind, but the easiest thing that we can manipulate right now to tip the scales in our favor is price. So I'm just going to go into some examples real quick of how I've made buying decisions. And maybe you have examples that you can think of on for yourself that kind of mirror this type of thing. So my eye doctor, why did I choose my eye doctor? When I was going to Google, I didn't know anybody in town. I didn't have a personal recommendation for what eye doctor to visit. They all take my insurance. So the first thing I was looking at were reviews. I want to make sure that I'm going to somebody that has great reviews. Now, so just so happens, there are a good handful of people in our town. We're in the suburbs east of Nashville, a town called Mount Juliet, that have great reviews, like 4.9 five-star reviews on Google. And so price isn't a factor because it's insurance-based. I've narrowed my choices down to the 4 or 5 businesses that are top tier in terms of reputation. And the thing that tipped the scales in their favor for my eye doctor was their location. They're 5 minutes away from my house. Instead of driving to the main section of town where the interstate is and there's a ton of traffic 15 minutes away, when I need to go to my eye appointment, I can get in and out quickly and it's 5 minutes from my house. So convenience was the part of that scorecard that tipped the scales in their favor for my buying decision in that case. We just hired a plumber to swap out our toilet upstairs here in our home. Why did we choose our plumber? We actually called our old company that we'd used previously. They no longer perform residential services. They recommended someone else. And the first thing that we did was we went online and looked at their reviews. They had pretty bad reviews on Google, something in the 3s from what I remember. So we went back to the Google search results and we looked up plumbers that serve our area, and we found somebody that had really good reviews. We called them and ended up hiring them. So in that case, it was reputation. We didn't even price shop in that case. We just wanted to, the job to get done right. So we made a decision based on reputation because their positioning in terms of reviews was far superior to the other options that we had available. So reputation tipped the scales in their favor. My gym. Why did I choose the gym that I go to? So it wasn't really reputation, because there are actually a lot of box gyms and training gyms that have 4.8, 4.9, 5 stars. I think my gym, if you look at it on Google, has something like a 4.2 star rating. So I didn't necessarily choose my gym based on a reputation. I chose it because they ranked highly on that scorecard for price and convenience. Affordable gym. It's like $30 a month and it's really close to my house. There's some gyms that were nice that are a little bit more expensive and a little further away that I didn't choose to do business with because the factors of convenience and price in that case influenced my purchase decision. So just be cognizant of the fact that you need to be giving clients a compelling reason to choose your business. That doesn't mean you need to be doing something unique or off the wall. You just need to optimize that scorecard to get people in the door for that first visit. So I've got a whole video on YouTube that I won't go in, but I'll make sure it's linked. If you go to our YouTube page or you just go and type in discounting for med spas, you'll probably find this video. Highly recommend watching it because it goes into the psychology of discounting and details in terms of when we do or don't recommend discounting strategies to attract new clients. But as a general rule, we love the idea of new patient discounts. One of my favorite quotes in marketing is this quote from Adam Ferrier in a book called The Advertising Effect. And the quote is, "Action changes attitude faster than attitude changes action." So what does that mean? It means in marketing, traditionally, what we think we're trying to do is influence the perception of a customer so that they choose to do business with us. So we're trying to use our advertising messages to influence their decision-making process. The best way to create factors of know, like, and trust and to get someone to really like our brand and have an affinity for our brand is to get them to come in and have an authentic experience with us. So that action, engaging with our brand, is going to change the perception of a user way faster than any marketing message. So with that in mind, we love discounts because we know that they're effective, a really effective way to tip the scales in our favor to get people in the door for that first visit. So examples of this coming into fruition were the idea that action changes attitude faster than attitude changes action in my own life. So our dentist, he's in this kind of rundown building on the west side of downtown that I put a picture here of. My wife and I live about a half hour outside Nashville now in the suburbs. I've got a handful of dentists that have perfect 5-star reviews that are 2, 3, 4 miles from my home, yet we still drive 35 minutes through downtown in city traffic to go to our old dentist every 6 months. Why do we do that? Because we have a perception of our dentist that's based on personal experience, and that's really hard to replicate via any sort of third-party data point. So I could see the reviews of these other businesses in town all day, but nothing will replace the fact that I know, like, and trust my dentist based on personal experience. I know I'm going to get into my appointment on time. There's not going to be a long wait. He's not going to try to sell me things I don't need. If I've got an issue with a tooth, he's going to be honest with me. The hygienist isn't going to rip my gums to shreds. So again, it's really hard to replace perception that's based on personal experience. And you see this happen in a lot of areas of purchasing, right? So if I were to say, hey, my wife and I, we have memberships to the Nashville Zoo, for example. If you were to just try to sell me a Nashville Zoo membership out of the blue, I'm probably not going to buy a Nashville Zoo membership. I've never been to the zoo. I don't even know if it's something that I like. But once we went to the zoo with our son and we realized this is a really good way to spend time as a family for a few hours on the weekend, it was an easy choice because now we had a perception based on experience where we know we liked going to the zoo. We ended up purchasing a membership for the past 2 years to the zoo. So I think for the zoo, as one example, it'd be really effective to do whatever they could do to get people in for that first visit, essentially for free, knowing that the people that like it and have a great experience are going to come back over and over again. They're going to bring friends and family. They're going to purchase memberships. I think that'd be a really lucrative strategy for them. You asked me what a good Thai restaurant is here in downtown Nashville. I'm probably going to mention this place, Deg Thai. My friend Josh took me here one day for lunch, and I could go to Google all day and look up the best places that have the best reviews. But if somebody asked me, where's the best place to get Thai food, I'm going to recommend something that I've personally experienced that I know and like and would vouch for personally. Why do we like the sports teams that we like and root for the sports teams that we like? Generally, it's because we've engaged with them to some extent. Like for our college sports teams, this is my college. I went to the University of South Florida in Tampa. I'm a huge USF sports fan because I went to school there, right? That engagement is impacting my favorability. For sporting events, if you've been to a game of a specific sports team, you're more likely to be a fan than someone that's never engaged with that that team before. So if the best way to shape someone's perception of your business is to get them to come in and have an experience with your business, what does this mean for you? To me, it means that you should be looking for attractive offers to make it easy for people to choose you for their first visit. And then people stick with you because they know, like, and trust you and pay your typical prices. So price is the easiest thing to manipulate to tip the scales in our favor. And what that means in reality when you're spending money on marketing and advertising is that your cost to acquire a customer goes down when the attractiveness of your offer increases. So you can try to advertise, and it can be effective if you say, hey, especially if you don't have the goods, I don't recommend doing this. So if you're a practice that's sitting here with a 4.6 star rating and you have multiple people in town with 4.9 star ratings, and they've got just a better look and feel, better social media presence, then you're not giving people a compelling reason to choose you. If you really are one of the top tier, most reputable providers in your area, then you can get away with not discounting via your ad offers, but understand that the trade-off is that you're gonna have a higher cost to acquire customer. So for every $1,000 you spend on ads, maybe you're gonna get 5 people through the door, where the alternative route with a more attractive offer would have had 15 new people come through the door for every $1,000 you spend on advertising. So that's the trade-off that you're managing. That's one of the reasons we love discounting as a strategy. I know you've heard different consultants talking about this, and that's why I've got that video where we go into details. But this is just a reality of basic supply and basic economics, right? The cost to acquire a customer is going to go down when the attractiveness of our offer increases. So if you're a business that needs more volume, you want to maximize the number of new patients coming through the door every month, then you want to use attractive offers. Also, the idea that the discount shopper is not a quality customer, I think, is dispelled in the data. Sarah Schickman on our podcast talked about this, but I see this all the time with our clients. We have a client right now that's running a promo for 20 units of 179 Botox for new patients. And their average initial visit is over like $550. They've got people that have come in and spent $700, $800, $900, over $1,000 on the initial visit when the lead magnet we used was a 20 unit 179 offer. Those people are rebooking at a greater than 50% rate. Some of them have referred friends and family members and brought them in for services. So I think that this marketing principle is good to understand because it works, and it's probably the most cost-effective way for you to attract new customers to your business. Check out the other parts of this video. If they're not already published, they will be soon, but this is a multi-part series. And in the next video, we're going to be talking about financial planning, how to make sure that you have a satisfactory cost to acquire a customer, that your advertising investment is doing what it should be doing for you, how to grow and scale, and also how to measure ROI effectively. I think there's 2 bad ways to measure ROI. We're going to talk about those and a more effective way to measure return on investment so you can invest in your marketing program with confidence. Then in the next videos, we're going to start going into detailed strategies we're using right now to maximize performance on Facebook, Instagram, and Google ads. My top SEO tips moving into 2024 to make sure that you're ranking prominently in the organic search results. And also the tools and strategies we use to automate lead follow-up to make sure when leads are coming in, that you're not just dumping them on the desk of your front office staff and then kind of hoping that at random those people are followed up with in an inconsistent fashion. We want to automate that process. We want to be diligent, and we want it to be timely. So I'm going to show you exactly how we do that and the tools we use to accomplish that in the next videos.